As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. That's danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Certain dates echo throughout history, including dates that instantly remind all who have lived through them where they were and what they were doing when our democracy came under assault. Dates that occupy not only a place on our calendars, but a place in our collective memory. December 7th, 1941, September 11th, 2001, and January 6th, 2021.
Well, there you have it. I've even seen reporters compare January 6th to Benghazi, which you all know the story of Benghazi. That was the Vice President, Kamala Harris, because today, ladies and gentlemen, as we are hearing now from the House Speaker on Capitol Hill, is the year of the first year anniversary of the deadliest attack ever on the United States of America. And it was January 6th, and it took place a year ago because people were upset over Trump or something. Welcome to the show, and welcome back if you have been awaiting me, and we'll talk about all of that and more. It's so good to be back with all of you. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Dana Lash, and a big thank you to my fill-ins, as well as my friend Sergio. And like I said, we'll talk more about that here shortly. But if you've seen some of the coverage, and I sent a piece out about this shortly before broadcast, Democrats have festooned Statuary Hall with these very somber decorations because they're continuing this performance. It's a long-running performance. You know how they have stuff that's on Broadway, right? The longest-running whatever. This is called Butma Insurrection. It's a very long performance, and it marks a year since a group of Gravy SEALs broke away from a peaceful protest, and then some of those Gravy SEALs decided to wander around the Capitol's roped corridors while drinking Coors. And the ones who decided to mimic Antifa, whether it was organic or inorganic, they've been arrested and tried. And that's where, if you were having any, you know, going to have any similarities between them and Antifa, that's where the similarities end. So I was reading about the way, last night I was reading about how everything was set up today. So this is in the Capitol, Statuary Hall. They've had all kinds of funerals and different services and everything else. It's a very serious room. And they turned it into a TV studio. They have a stage in the middle, and they have a huge camera crane, all kinds of cameras and teleprompters, because, you know, Biden and Harris addressed the nation earlier today. And now CNN's taking it over because Jake Tapper and Anderson Cooper are doing a special, literally called Live from the Capitol, January 6th, 1 year later. And they're going to feature a number of House members, all of them Democrats, except for one Republican whose name rhymes with Ms. Paney. And they're all joining the program. I mean, Pravda's going to Pravda. Here's the thing that I think perhaps sort of surprises me a little bit. I can't believe, like, for instance, I'm shocked that there isn't one of those marble columns or pillar or something that has the actual Coors can displayed and somberly lit on it somewhere off in a corner? Because the dude literally was, he was arrested after he was wandering around the Capitol drinking a Coors. Or what about displaying the buffalo head worn by the trespassing organic only guy? Remember, he was the guy who, he's the buffalo shaman or whatever. He was in jail and he had his mom bring him organic snacks while he was in the pokey. It was a huge thing. I look at all the headlines today and I am reminded about how stupid people in our nation can be. I'm reminded just how stupid all of this is. Biden calls Trump out for his web of lies about the 2020 election. I will have you know, and we've played this audio and I'm prepared to play it again. How many times did you hear interviews with Joe Biden or Kamala Harris in which they all discussed how Trump was an illegitimate president, or even when they didn't even decide to correct the narrative? Audio soundbite 22. Let's start with Harris. This is when she was doing, I think this is Charlemagne the God, and she was doing an interview, breakfast show, in which they were discussing the illegitimacy of the 2016 election. And she went right along with it. Just listen to this.
Elections matter. When you win an election, you get to set the rules.
How can you win with Russian interference, though?
That's a real thing.
That's what I'm scared about in 2020.
But rightly.
Because I think he's an illegitimate president that didn't really win. So how do you, you know, fight against that in 2020?
You are absolutely right. So, again, as a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, I will tell you that we should believe exactly what the intelligence community has told us, which is Russia did interfere in the election of the president of the United States in 2016.
Now, remember, everything they claimed about Russian interference was later proven to be, well, there were attempts, but it wasn't to try to tilt the field in favor of, like, Trump or anything of that nature. In fact, all of the claims that they've ever made on it, nothing ever came to be. Remember, the FBI ultimately, despite everything that they tried, had to come back and say that there was no proof of organization after January 6th, that there was no proof of collusion, there was nothing, it's not an insurrection, it wasn't anything, it was just a bunch of unorganized people. And that's not too far off from all the claims that Harris has here about Russia. I mean, they go from one big lie to another big lie. The real big lie was that 2016 was illegitimate. Now, remember, they used that audio sound by 21 flashback. They used this to stoke all kinds of animosity, all kinds of division. This was Biden, similar situation, but this time Biden. Listen.
He's illegitimate. And my biggest fear is that he's going to do it again with the help of Vlad, his best pal. And we're going to be stuck for six more years of this guy. And that is terrifying. It's terrifying.
Would you be my vice presidential candidate? Folks, look, I absolutely agree.
Oh, he absolutely agrees. It's an interesting thing to hear, especially when you look at some of the top headlines. Biden calls Trump out for his web of lies about the 2020 election, et cetera, et cetera. The big lie was what Democrats were promoting after 2016. Now, speaking of riots, etc., I wanted to play for you this audio soundbite I'm looking at, because there was a very interesting cut from Cruz yesterday. This came out, and this isn't the first time he said this, and I'm going to basically use, I'm going to include this with Democrat takes here, because this was a really poor take, I thought, from Ted Cruz. Listen to this. He was defending it against it yesterday. I'll talk a little bit more about that. Audio soundbite 7, though. This is what Cruz was saying when he was described. This is Ted Cruz, yes. Ted, yes, not like Schmed Cruz. This is Ted Cruz. Not his evil twin. This is him. And this is how he was describing January 6th. Listen.
Solemn anniversary this week. And it is an anniversary of a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol, where we saw the men and women of law enforcement demonstrate incredible courage, incredible bravery, risk their lives to defend.
Now, he refers to it as a terror attack. Now, I will say, yes, there were some very good police officers, Capitol officers who served. There were also some very bad Capitol police officers, because six of them lost their jobs over it because they were engaged in unnecessary brutality even during peace against peaceful protesters. And there's video footage of that. That's what I think one of the reasons why you have hundreds of hours of video footage from all around the Capitol complex, and yet what, not even 15% of it has been released? So there's a big question right there by itself. So you can't universally say that there were, that you can be all about backing the blue. I don't back the blue when the blue is enforcing unconstitutional orders or when the blue is engaged in any kind of violent enforcement that goes beyond standard operating procedure. So I disagree with Ted Cruz here, and I was very nice about it online, but I disagreed publicly all the same because it was a riot. He came back and said, my view is that anyone who commits an act of political violence should be prosecuted, and anyone who assaults a law enforcement officer should go to jail for a very long time. The political left inexplicably and unacceptably wants to treat left-wing political violence differently. My response was that people aren't disputing this. The issue is with referring to the riot as a terrorist attack. And it was a riot. It wasn't a terrorist attack. This was not some sort of organized thing that was designed to strike fear in the hearts of Americans. What people don't realize is how many people were at the Capitol complex that day. There were hundreds of thousands? There were a ton of people there. And there was a group that broke away from the peaceful protest. And then from that group, there were people who engaged in what is not protected speech. I have no problem with charging and prosecuting people who believe that arson and assault or property destruction are protected forms of speech. I'm always consistent on that. But what I do have a problem with is Democrats and the Republicans who help them and the media who use the actions of a few to categorize the whole as a control technique to suppress dissent. That's the actual threat to democracy. If you want to be accurate, I don't really recall Ted Cruz talking about the left attacking D.C. at Trump's inauguration as a terrorist attack. Burning down buildings and property. Engaged in arson, assault, property damage. I don't recall that being described as a terror attack. I don't recall that descriptive language being used to describe violent rioters terrorizing Americans in cities across the country after Biden, Harris, and the Democrat Party promoted the quote-unquote illegitimately elected Trump narrative after the 2016 election. I don't recall that description coming from Cruz on that, or really any Democrat, to be quite honest. So I look at Democrats desperately need this to be the insurrection that it is not. Now, remember when I told you, if you want to have a discussion about terror attacks, do you remember when Democrats bombed the Senate building in 1983? We've talked about this before. And Clinton, Bill Clinton, he pardoned the bombers. Do you all remember this? And that was at the urging of Jerry Nadler. In fact, he worked really, really hard to get clemency for Susan Rosenberg and Linda Evans. We're going to talk a little bit about this here coming up, because if you want to have a discussion about insurrection and terror attacks, well, we could talk about that, or we could talk about the attempted Ballfield assassinations. But here's the problem with our politics, is that the politics of everything have redefined everything. I mean, politics has redefined our social landscape and actual definitions, too. And it's a shame when I see Republicans play into that. We have a lot to discuss on this, because they drug out and dusted off Jimmy Carter. No one was charged for any of the claims that's ever been made, like in terms of the insurrection and terrorism and all that other stuff. We're going to talk about that. And also, Democrats' long goal with this, they want to drag this out to the next general election. They think they can get this past midterms. They're trying to do everything that they can as an insurance policy against losing the House. So also coming up, the second real big lie is that the vaccine stops entirely the G variant. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about what to expect in the coming year and some of the things that we missed and wokery. Oh, we got a lot. You don't want to miss a single bit of today's show. It's good to be back with you behind the mic. 2022 is full of uncomfortable unknowns, but what we know is that when you start the year in Tommy John, you are that much more comfortable, so you can do everything better. You deserve to be as comfortable as possible in new Tommy John loungewear and pajamas. Tommy John loungewear's luxurious soft tri-blend and micro-modal fabrics mean four-way stretch and no lint balls or fuzz, and feature thoughtful tagless labels, because you can't be comfy when you're getting scratched by a tag. When you're wearing Tommy John, you're that much more comfortable, so everything feels easier. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. This winter, fight the cold with cozy with Tommy John. Returns and exchanges are free, and it's all backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order now at TommyJohn.com/Dana. What we know is that when you start the year in Tommy John, you are that much more comfortable, so you can do everything better. Visit TommyJohn.com/Dana for 20% off. That's TommyJohn.com/Dana. See site for details.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
So if you're having a bad Thursday, I want you to be grateful that you're not this guy, unless you're this guy listening, and then, gosh, man, it sucks for you. Andrew Peters was returning from San Francisco, and he got stuck on the I-95 mega jam for 9 hours in Uber. This guy was coming from the airport, right? This whole thing, this whole storm that took place. He was returning from San Francisco, got stuck on an icy stretch of Interstate 95. This was in Virginia, where hundreds of motorists were stranded. I had a friend pushing people's cars off the road, and he got hit with a $600 fare. Now, Uber said he's going to get his money back. They said that they refunded him after his ordeal and that they're glad that he got home safely. Yeah, but still, man, I can see how that would be unnerving. Also, this Texas governor, Greg Abbott, tells his National Guard that Biden is not the commander-in-chief of the National Guard, as he sues the White House over what he says is the unconstitutional military vaccine mandate. Why are we still doing vaccine mandates? Oh, you better believe I'm going to open a can of worms on this coming up. Why are we still pushing these damn mandates for vaccine? You know the vaccine. Does somebody want to prove to me that it stops the G variant? I'm not calling it Omicron. It's G variant. North Korea claims that Kim Jong-un's dad invented the burrito. Not making this up. This is a legitimate thing. It's been reported by like The Sun and New York Post, and North Korean state news is like blaring. I don't know why this is the thing they're going with this week, but okay. They're saying that Kim Jong-un's dad invented the burrito, and they have a whole propaganda video that they made about it in Pyongyang. They said that he took a meticulous interest in the dish, and it's booming amongst the population. They're saying that he like made it popular with Mexicans. I'm not even making this up. I swear to you, hands to sky, this is an actual headline. God bless America. Elon Musk launches a Tesla showroom in Tianjin. Now, this is problematic because there's a little bit of increased coziness there between Tesla and the CCP. We're going to talk about that as well. And the oldest World War II vet dies at age 112. God bless that man. We got a lot more coming up. Stay with us.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
We have in hand all the vaccines we need to get every American fully vaccinated, including the booster shot. So there's no excuse. No excuse for anyone being unvaccinated. This continues to be a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Oh, man. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. You guys know this is why you're tuning in right now, aren't you? Oh, that was the president. Katie, bar the door. Okay, so on a scale of 1 to 11, how real do you want me to be? Because I heard this and I was livid. First off, this is a bunch of BS and Joe Biden's an embarrassment. Even when Barack Obama was president, I'm always like, I'm respectful of the office because I believe in our principles of our republic. I will totally run the person occupying it if they deserve it down into a hole in the ground. I totally will. But I've always, you know, and you can go back. I've been on air literally 3 hours every day for over a decade. So, you know, if they were going to get me on inconsistency, they would already gotten me. Dudes, I'm done, though. I'm done with this. I am so tired of this geezer who can barely function getting out there and trying to divide America. You wouldn't believe some of the audio that I have from him. But let me start with this. First off, the reason why, excuse me, that I'm trying to mask all of it. I got Omicron. Well, they think it's Omicron. They can't test for it because no one's sequencing the genomes of it. So They're just assuming that it's Omicron because I'm not on the floor. But I got the Rona. Now, well, the thing is that it affects everybody differently. I know people who got the original strain who had no symptoms. And then others who were on the floor. So, I don't know. How many variants are there now? Nobody knows what the hell is going on. These people don't know what the hell they're doing. They have, let me tell you something. My faith in government institutions has never been lower. If it exists at all. These people have no idea what the hell they're doing. So our family tested positive over Christmas, right? And this has been about like 10 days now we've been dealing with this. I still have some residuals of it. For me, it's an overly glorified cold. The aches and chills sucked in the beginning, but the thing that made me the angriest was the fatigue and the mental fog. I don't get sick, I just get mad. So that's the thing that I struggle with the most. And I have a little bit of congestion residually, et cetera, et cetera. And out of courtesy, the reason that you're not seeing me on camera, at least right now for the simulcast, is because I'm not letting Kane or Juan in the studio until Monday. Just to be, you know, although Kane thinks, if you get the email, he's that meme with the guy in the pink suit challenging Bane to a fight with his probiotics and crystals. That's Kane. Kane thinks that probiotics and Windex handle everything. I don't know. It just is what it is. So he was all about, you know, having like the modern day chickenpox party. And I'm like, dude, just chill. So long story short, we all tested. The CDC keeps modifying all of their stances because the testing, we originally tested because we had to do the urgent care thing. Because we're like, well, in order to get the ivermectin, got to test positive. Doctor prescribed me, by the way, ivermectin, and I didn't turn into a horse. So all these people can kiss my A-double snakes. I didn't turn into a horse, and it actually helped alleviate symptoms. The people out there lying about ivermectin are claiming that people who are pushing ivermectin are doing so as a cure for the virus. That's a lie. They're trying to, they're strawmanning people in order to invalidate your claim and the validity of it. Ivermectin's to treat symptoms, and it does a damn fine job at treating symptoms. My entire family took ivermectin. My entire family had help with their symptoms. Now, two members of my family who didn't get their ivermectin until way later, they struggled with their symptoms a lot longer. And then when they started taking ivermectin, their symptoms improved and they were able to rest easier. So I had the chills and I had the aches and that sucked. But the congestion, which weirdly came later, like this is like the yesterday and today are my worst days of congestion. Yet oddly, it's like day 10. It's like, what in the world? And it's not the flu Rona, which is something else that they made up. The testing is ridiculous. I paid six figures in taxes. Where the hell is my money? Where did my money go? Where's the return on my investment? I did my part. I paid everybody's fair share. Where is the return on my investment? Because I can't go. If I wanted to get tested, if the schools were demanding that my kids show like a testing site, like they were cleared by a government administrator or whatever testing, you couldn't even get in to get tested. If you wanted to get tested in my area, there's nothing available for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. That's like beyond the quarantine. It's stupid. And the quarantine's stupid, too. It's all stupid. Look, this thing is endemic. Learn to deal with it. End of story. And because I contracted it, I'll call it whatever the hell I want. Because I contracted it, I don't have to wear a face mask, and I'm going to cough on the first person who gives me flack about it. I will totally flip and cough on you. Get away from me. Your stupidity is more dangerous than the Rona. Whole thing makes me so damn mad. So we have, like, I've got a college kid and I got a kid in high school, and we're dealing with the testing thing and trying to figure out, you know, how are they, because they were saying PCR tests. Well, guess what? Here's a headline for you about PCR tests. The CDC is now saying, now this, they came out with this recently. Okay, they came out with this recently. And you would think that you would have been made aware of it, but heaven forbid. The whole thing is infuriating. The PCR test, they say, you don't have to test negative anymore to leave isolation. They removed the rule on December 29th. Did you know this? How many of you out there knew that? CDC, I'm looking literally at their website and ABC News, December 29th, 8:39 a.m. CDC doesn't require testing at end of isolation now. They updated their guidelines. Because PCR tests can stay positive for up to 12 weeks, depending on your viral load. Now, let's flash back to, like, I guess, a year and a half ago. Do you remember when we were talking about cycle threshold? CT scores. determining your level of contagiousness and whether or not you're clinically contagious. So all these tests don't measure this. Don't you think that's kind of important when you're determining whether or not someone's contagious? Why was this not known, you know, months ago? They said that PCR tests can stay positive for up to 12 weeks. This is what Rochelle Walensky told Good Morning America last Wednesday. What? So they cut isolation from 10 to 5 days. And they said, oh, it's all motivated by science. Fauci was telling the people interviewing him. He was on, I don't know, a number of different programs saying, well, you know, society needs to function. So now they said, and I'm looking for comparing their December 27th, 2021 definitions to December 29th, the CDC guideline is you can leave quarantine if your, quote, symptoms are resolving. And so they measure that by not having a fever for 24 hours, etc. Now, this is a change from them previously saying that only asymptomatic people can leave quarantine. What in the world? Now, I can understand if, because everything is new and they don't know what they're dealing with and they have to, you know, have these fast changing rules. I get that. But what busts public trust is that they're not forthright with people about it. What in the hell is the rule on, quote unquote, symptoms are resolving? That's actually what they said. They changed it. CDC updates and shortens recommended isolation and quarantine period for general population. December 27th of 2021, they said if asymptomatic. They said people with COVID should isolate for 5 days if asymptomatic, followed by 5 days of wearing a mask when around others. Then they said people with COVID should isolate 5 days if they are asymptomatic or their symptoms are resolving without fever for 24 hours. They changed that in the span of a couple of days, didn't tell anybody. Didn't explain it either. Good grief. And you can't have any discussion about it because you'll be banned on social media. Now, here's the other thing. In Texas, our state is dealing with like half Delta, half Omicron, apparently. And the monoclonal antibody treatment is helpful, apparently, for the Delta variant because there's sequencing involved, but Omicron, there's not. And so apparently, according to my doc and another doctor I consulted and another doctor I consulted, so that's three doctors that I've consulted, in addition to back channel discussions with some of the people that have been on my show, like virologists and epidemiologists. Omicron's super mild, but the monoclonal thing doesn't really work on Omicron because of the genetic sequencing. It does work with Delta. It does work with the other variants. So you have Texas, which is still just now dealing with an Omicron wave. And then you have the Biden administration trying to strangle supply of monoclonal antibody treatments to states like Texas and others. For what purpose? I will physically fight you over ivermectin. I'm so tired of people. I had someone else who had even contracted it and was like, oh, well, you know, you're taking what is horse deworm. I'm like, yeah, horses drink water too. Are you drinking water? Guess you're a horse. You know what? Ignore everyone. The government doesn't know what the hell they're doing. All of the critics out there don't know what the hell's going on. You know what's best for your family. Why do you got to seek validation from Uncle Sam or anybody else in the peanut gallery? Screw all these people. Do what's best for you and your family. The end. And if people got a problem about it, tell them to pound sand. New year, new you. Oh, man. The testing thing is infuriating, though. I felt like a potion master. I'm in here in my kitchen, and I'm like doing that because like one of the kids' schools has, they're like, do you got a PCR test? I'm like, good luck going and getting that done. I'm like, what? I'm like, I'm not going to drive to Lubbock. It's only, hey, I can get in next week if I drive the hell out to Lubbock, which is, what, 8-hour drive? No. I told the school, I'm like, look, here's the latest with PCR. He's coming back Monday. Get over it. There, you can come physically fight me at my house. This is my address if you got problems. There you go. I'll cough on you. See, nobody wants to get near you now. All you got to do is act like, just be like, oh, the COVID. Oh, oh. That's where I'm at. But I did. I felt like a damn potions master. I'm in my kitchen And it's like, here is your tray and here, and you're doing all this stuff. And golly, I had to, like, it's so disgusting to nasal swab people, even if it's your own children, and doing that whole thing. And it's like, I'm making science. I just was in my kitchen making science. It was crazy. And God, I love capitalism because we have these tests. But at the same time, I still had to wait a couple of days to get them. And these tests are so stupid expensive. Have you purchased one of these tests? I got the Abbott one. And then I got the on-the-go, whatever the hell that one is. One of them was $40 for two tests in one box. The other was $64 for one test in one box. And if you test negative, even if you have symptoms and you test negative, you're supposed to do the test again, right? This thing is so stupid. There's not enough tests. Where did our tax dollars go? Did we give all the money away to the people crossing illegally at the border? Like, where the hell did our tax dollars go? We pay X amount in taxes so that, I mean, I do so unwillingly, but the general thought is that you get something in return, like, you know, a protected nation, you know, when you got a pandemic and you want to get tested, you can get some tests. That's the general understanding, right? Oh, I got more on this. The whole thing is infuriating. How many of you have had trouble getting tests? I'm not even going to tell you what I spent on tests. It makes me angry. Can I write that off in taxes? I need to ask my accountant. I'm going to ask my accountant if I can write this off in taxes. We should be able to, right? Why the hell not? Especially if we were contributing to the lab where this damn thing leaked from. I think at the very least we should be able to write off the tests that we have to purchase on our taxes. Don't you? I'm going to do it. And then if the IRS comes, I can be like, fight me. I'll cough on you. Right? We have a lot more on the way that you do not want to miss. Just coming up, let me give you a quick rundown here of what we're going to have. The big lie continued. Also, some of the things that we miss. No one wants to date Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez except her gross feet-having boyfriend. Nobody wants this. We'll talk about that. We'll just quickly recap some of what we missed. And I have some things that you need to watch, including, have you been paying attention to what's happening in Kazakhstan? Because now Russian troops are there, too. We'll talk a little bit about that. Wokery, apparently, people are not letting, I don't know who, like, I guess black people are not allowed on mountains. For real. Because now there's equity in mountain climbing. I am not making this up. I have to say that with almost everything I talk about now. We're going to have that and so much more. You don't want to miss a single bit of the program today. Give back to our deployed service members by shopping Black Rifle Coffee Company. Black Rifle Coffee Company is not your typical coffee company. Developing their explosive roast profiles with the same mission focus learned as military members, Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders. With every purchase you make, they give back. Founded and operated by veterans, the team at Black Rifle Coffee Company know what a quality cup of coffee means to active duty troops. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV today. The team has spent thousands of hours tasting and perfecting coffee from all over the world to bring you the freshest coffee in America. Use promo code DanaTV for 20% off coffee, apparel, gear, and 20% off your first month of the Coffee Club. Give back to our deployed service members by shopping Black Rifle Coffee Company. That's blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV for 20% off coffee, apparel, gear, and 20% off your first month of the Coffee Club. That's blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
And for parents with kids too young to be vaccinated, surround your kids with people who are vaccinated.
Oh, for the love. Mrs. President McUnity, keep your kids away from the unvaccinated. You know, kids are actually safer than the vaccinated. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash. .com. Very good to be with you. Sign up for my newsletter, Chapter and Verse. There's been a lot of good stuff that's gone out over the past couple of days. And if you haven't been signed up, then you didn't receive any of it. And it's good to be back with you. Big thanks to those who are filling in, especially my friend, my brother from another mother, Sergio, who filled in the last couple of days because your girl got the woo flu. I'll call it whatever I want. I contracted it. I'll call it whatever I want to call it. Omicron. Here's something interesting, just I observed, because I'm not vaccinated. I decided to do my own personal risk assessment, and I was like, this is what I'm going to do. And I don't feel like I have to justify it by sharing my health history with anybody. Look, You do not owe an explanation to anybody, period, especially people that you don't know, and especially randos on the internet. If someone's asking you to list the, give a dissertation of your beliefs on X, Y, and Z as it relates to your own personal risk assessment, just be like, bro, I literally have known you for 10 seconds, all of which have been miserable. Step off. Who the hell are you? Pound sand. New year, new me, right? Just make sure you add that at the end of it, too. It makes it special. So, the testing ridiculousness, the CDC changes, it's all crazy. You need to make your best decision for your family. We're going to talk about, I have a number of stories and studies on vaccinations and Omicron and how it actually is not affecting Omicron. We'll talk about that. Also, a team of 9 black climbers attempted to scale Mount Everest to tackle the peak's, quote, intentional lack of access for black people. They say mountaineering is colonial, has a colonial history. Who's keeping black people off mountains? The latest in wokery, tons of other stuff, including J6. Stay with us. Wireless service is more than just connecting, sharing, and productivity. It's about trusting that your provider shares your values and cares about you. There's no one you can trust more than Patriot Mobile. America's only Christian conservative-based wireless company, Patriot Mobile gives a portion of every dollar to support the things you believe in, such as the First, Second Amendment, veterans, first responders, sanctity of life. You can help mobilize freedom by switching to Patriot Mobile today. With a 100% U.S.-based team, Patriot Mobile has the highest rating for customer service of any wireless company. Patriot Mobile listens to you and won't try to sell you what you don't need. They'll work to find a plan that fits any budget and their broad, dependable coverage. Switch to Patriot Mobile today and get free activation and a free gift with promo code Dana. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. When you switch, use promo code Dana for free activation and a free gift.
Today is going to be, I mean, honestly, I'm not going to watch any of it, but you're going to see the D.C. New York media. I mean, this is their Christmas, January 6th, okay? They are going to take this and milk this for anything they could to try to be able to smear anyone who ever supported Donald Trump.
That, of course, that's Daddy Liberty down there in Florida. That's Governor Ron DeSantis, who is remarking on the way that Democrats and media are treating today. They have a name for it. It's J6. It's January 6th, and they're acting like it's the observance of the deadliest attack in American in the universe's history. Ever in the universe's history. Welcome back to the show. I am so happy to be back with you guys. I was getting so antsy, so fidgety. Dana last year, so good to be back. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. You can still hear a little of the congestion. I got the G variant, the Wu flu, or the virus that was released from a lab in China. I can call it whatever I want to because I contracted it. Physically fight me. I will cough on you. See, all the people who are terrifyingly scared of the virus, they won't do that. Just be like, the COVID, and look at them. And then it's over, man. You just won. That's your ace. So good to be back, though. So Ron DeSantis is right. Now, I wrote about this in the newsletter as well. You need to make sure you sign up for it, chapter and verse, over at Substack. Because a couple of things. A year after all of this, and yet no one was charged with sedition, despite the fact that Merrick Garland was like, this is seditious. No one was charged with insurrection, despite the fact that Garland and all the Democrats were like, it's insurrection. It wasn't an insurrection. There was no organization. The FBI even proved that. There was nothing. That's it. Nothing. Nada. None of it. So there was, they even had, what was it? Excuse me. Michael Sherwin. Now, he's the former acting U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. Back in March, he did an interview with 60 Minutes. And he said, oh, we are looking at Trump's potential criminal liability. And we believe that there's evidence to file charges of sedition against some people involved in this riot. Except there's never been any charges filed because there's never been any basis for such charges to be filed. I get that our political landscape has changed much about our culture, but it should not change word definitions. Now, 275 defendants were charged with obstructing a congressional proceeding, and yet roughly about 400 of those have been charged with some sort of conspiracy. And that was, but nothing about anything else. It basically was a glorified trespass op, and then some rioted. I don't defend, nor does anybody else. I don't defend people who want to act like the left and want to engage in things that are, not considered protected speech, arson, assault, etc. So I don't have a problem with charging and prosecuting people who think that violence is protected form of speech. Go ahead, fine, do it. But to use the few who broke away from a massive peaceful protest in which hundreds of thousands of people were present and try to act like the few people who broke away and engaged in unprotected speech that had criminal consequences, to act like that's the standard and to use that as a way to broad brush everyone, that's nothing more than tyrants using that and doing that so that as a technique to control dissent. That's what this is. That's exactly what this is. 1 year out and nothing has changed. Not a single thing. The charges, nobody ever, look, people who have outrage over this, they're having fits over who has power. This reaction from the press, especially when these people excuse the mostly peaceful protests, the riots and everything else that took place. I was really disappointed in some of them. We played the audio from Ted Cruz earlier. I was very disappointed in hearing him describe it as a terror attack, which suggests that there was some sort of organization, et cetera, et cetera. And they shared the same values as other people who would like to undermine the Republic. That's not at all what happened. That's not proven by any investigation. There's nothing to substantiate that. The end. End of story. I told you I was going to talk to you about this thing I brought up before on air. This is back in 1983. I don't know if you remember the story of Linda Evans and Susan Rosenberg. So they actually were involved in and organized the bombing of the Senate building. This was back in 1983. United States Senate bombing. And this was on November 7th. It was 2 minutes before 11 o'clock. It was on the evening of November 7th, and a thunderous explosion tore through the U.S. Capitol Senate wing. Now, there were minutes before the bomb went off, a caller who said that they represented the Armed Resistance Unit warned a Capitol switchboard operator that a bomb was placed near the chamber, and the device was hidden under a bench. I mean, this thing sent pulverized brick and plaster and glass into the Republican cloakroom behind the chamber. It shattered mirrors, destroyed furniture, six figures in damages. And the FBI conducted a 5-year investigation, after which they arrested 7 members of their resistance conspiracy: Marilyn Jean Buck, Linda Sue Evans, Susan Rosenberg, Timothy Blunk, Alan Berkman, Linda Whitehorn, and Elizabeth Ann Duke. They also had triggered blasts at Fort McNair and the Washington Navy Yard. These are terrorists. They're Democrats. And the fun thing about this, and by fun I mean not, Jerry Nadler intervened as House Judiciary Committee chairman to get then-President Bill Clinton to pardon the terrorists involved. He got Susan Rosenberg pardoned. Now, Evans and Rosenberg had served 16 years of these sentences. Rosenberg had a 58-year sentence. Evans had a 40-year sentence. And they actually were pardoned by a Democrat president. And Rosenberg is on the board of Thousand Currents, which funds Black Lives Matter. She's still a left-wing activist. Interesting. Yeah, the New York Post wrote in 2001 that Nadler, they said his role was crucial. That was the direct quote that they used. In Clinton's decision to commute Rosenberg's sentence. Unbelievable. And so he's been one of the people who's been the most vocal in going after all those trespassers on January 6th. Ultimately, and I even disagree with that, because I think anything that I pay money towards, I can go whenever I want and it's not trespassing. So, you know, there you have it. However, if you're going to say anything about it, I think it would be a mass trespassing, incident. But I don't believe, again, in trespassing on things that you pay money for. So there you have it. So this whole thing, that's a legitimate terror attack, but politics is now forcing people to not call it that. Just so insane. This is about Democrats desperately needing something in order to save their House majority. That's all this is. I'm not going to take lectures from anyone who engaged in promoting the big lie of 2016 being an illegitimate election. We played that audio of Biden and Harris engaged in that. And then, of course, defending the riots that they incited across the country, in which Americans from coast to coast were terrorized by people burning down their cities and beating them up in the streets. If you want to have a discussion about terrorism, I'm just not taking any lectures from any of those people. They drug out and dusted off old Jimmy Carter, even. New York Times had a piece. He wrote, "I fear for our democracy." They're warning about basically electing Republicans. That's all it is. You saved you a click. That's all they're warning about. Now, the January 6th Select Committee, they want to hold their hearings in prime time for maximum exposure. That's what they want. Axios and several others had the story. They said members are discussing potential formats and timing for the committee's hearings. They want to know. What is there else to know? There's no conspiracy here. You had some people who wandered through the halls, and then you had smaller some people who engaged in unprotected speech for which they've been charged and prosecuted. What else is the thing? You wouldn't need this much theater if there was an actual show. But this is all about mitigating losses coming up for midterms. That's what all of this is about. All of it is about this. All right, a few other things. Because, you know, I got the woo flu. Which is why I'm not on. You can't see camera because I can't have... I'm not having Kane and Juan in until Monday. So that's when I'll return to camera on Monday. Although I'll be on Fox this evening. I think that's going to be in the 6 p.m. Central hour. So you want to make sure that you stay tuned with that. But this... situation with the Omicron, because that's apparently what I have. Whoopi Goldberg was stunned. She tested positive for COVID. She said, "I've done everything I was supposed to do." I know that Biden says that it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated, but do you realize that there are people who are vaccinated against a variant that it actually is inconsequential against said variant? So they're out there probably super spreading this. I mean, that's the reality of it. But here's the thing, I'm not blaming them. You know why? Because they're stupid enough to believe the false bill of goods that they've been sold. These are people who still believe in government and believe the government, or they still believe the government. Now, and she was triple vaxxed. I'm pretty sure I have a suspicion about where my family contracted the Wu flu, and it was from vaccinated people. Pretty certain. Because that's, I just have my reasons. I don't want to like name people, but I don't know. But it's not their fault. I don't blame them. Because they, don't be dumb and believe your government wholeheartedly. Question everything. I was looking at a couple of these, pull this up. A couple of these stories and studies. There's new research. This was released in the last week here. We're going to talk more about this coming up. About the vaccines. There was a study done by the University of Washington. They're still waiting for peer review of the effectiveness of vaccines against Omicron, because all of this initial stuff is not, that shows that it's not. We're going to, of course it's not. But doesn't matter. You need to make your own risk assessment. As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique clinically researched grape seed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. That's danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Piranha attacks in Paraguay have left 4 people dead and have injured more than 20 just in the past year. That's insane. Just in the past year, locals are concerned. I'm sorry, I'm not going to get into any river, any body of water where fish have teeth bigger than mine. Or even the size of mine, or even half the size, if they have teeth. How about that? Let's just, nothing with teeth. Nothing with that. That's terrifying. That's an actual real headline. Wow. That's terrifying. Let's see, moving on. Keanu Reeves donated 70% of his Matrix salary to leukemia research. His younger sister had battled the disease for a decade. The IRS wants you to report stolen property and drug money as income. I know that this was something that happened over the break. I'm still coming to grips with this. IRS telling them, like, hey, if you've got some stolen property and drug money, just report it. That sounds like some shenanigans. They said, if you steal, this is literally from, this is a copy from it, it's a all legit thing. If you steal property, you must report its fair market value in your income in the year you steal it, unless you return it to its rightful owner in the same year. Wow. They said that it's because, you know, the tax-happy government decided through SCOTUS in 1927 that the government can tax illegal income. Well, then it's an illegal tax. Then doesn't that make the government culpable, by the way? If it's illegal, then doesn't that make the government culpable? I'm telling you. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. More of The Dana Show, first show of the new year, back after this. Friends, we're on the brink of an economic crisis, really. I mean, thanks to the economic policies and the jobless numbers, that everything's been abysmal. Inflation is starting to increase. We're seeing supply chain disruptions. It's kind of crazy. Instead of following the former president's pro-business agenda that had the economy booming, now the new administration wants to tax corporations, tax small businesses, pass trillion-dollar bills that we can't pay for. You need to take proactive steps to protect your wealth and your retirement by investing in gold and precious metals, and legacy precious metals can help. Washington keeps printing money and it devalues your dollar. Gold offers you a hedge against inflation. As the dollar gets weaker, gold gets stronger. So the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options for you and your family. Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide that's full of all kinds of useful information at legacypminvestments.com. Visit Legacy, letter P, letter M, investments.com.
Shooting down woke culture one crazy headline at a time. It's The Dana Show.
Make no mistake, there will be a trial, and when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the insurrection.
Woohoo! Woohoo! That's flashback that's worthy of frequent replay. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. So good, ladies and gentlemen, to be back with you. Our first broadcast of the new year, delayed just a little bitty bit because of the Wu flu, the Omicron. So there you have it. Of course, I did my ivermectin. Didn't turn into a horse. I already finished it. It helped with my symptoms. And if you disagree with me, fight me. I'll cough on you. That's one of my favorite audio sound bites from Chuck Schumer. And I never can get enough of it. All right. We've been talking about J6. We were talking about the ridiculousness with the testing and all the Omicron, whatever stuff. Just make it, one quick thought on this, and then I want to get into some of this wokery. At some point, which is now, we need to determine that we're going to treat this the way we do any other kind of upper respiratory virus. Because it's endemic. You're not going to, unless you're going to now be quarantining people for common colds, which are also coronaviruses, by the way. This is an endemic virus. We're going to have to deal with it as such. And this idea that you can just get a vaccine for every mutation without sequencing the genome is unscientific. As I was telling you, this University of Washington study, there's another one that came out. This one's waiting to be peer-reviewed, but they're looking at the effectiveness of vaccines against Omicron versus the original strain. Now, the original strain, you know why that they might have a better measure of success for people with compromised immune systems in the original strain is because that they were literally constructed to for that strain. That strain, the genome of which was sequenced, and the vaccine was structured to react to that. There's no neutralizing activity against different variants that can get around the vaccine. That's just science. It's not misinformation. It's just science. My doctor was like, this vaccine doesn't do jack crap to this variant. My medical doctor who prescribed me ivermectin was saying this. And he's a good doctor. That's it. Another thing, there was another study. This was from BBC. This is a British study. They said that there's no evidence to support face masks in schools. Now, this is the second study that Britain has done. First one said, oh, no, this doesn't do crap. This one's a little bit more politically correct. They're saying, well, it's inconclusive. They looked at 1,300 schools. There was zero difference in outcome between the schools that mandated masks and those that didn't. Now, our school, one of my kids' schools, they mandated masks like a year last year, but not this year at all. There have been no outbreaks or anything of that nature. You know what really helps with outbreaks of any kind of sickness? Keep your butt home when you're sick. If you have the flu, do you send your kid to school with the flu? No. Do you send them to school with strep throat? No. You got to treat this endemic. That's it. You don't need a government mandate of anything. A BioNTech leader, Deseret News, said that, then this is the CEO of this vaccine developer, said that, yes, even the triple vaccinated are likely to transmit the disease. Uyghur Sahin told the French paper Le Monde this. And again, it has to do with mutations of the virus. It's endemic. I actually have natural immunity now. I've been wanting natural immunity for the longest time. I have natural immunity. So this, all of this, we just have to figure out. I mean, honestly, this is just the best way. This is the best way to deal with this stuff. So I wanted to switch gears here. Look at a couple of different things. This. Oh, man. The wokery. New year, new, nobody else. Nobody else is new. So a couple of things with some of the wokery. I didn't watch the Being the Ricardos. People were mad because Spanish Javier Bardem was playing a Cuban, Ricky Ricardo. What? As though there's like a physical difference between someone who is from Spain and someone who's from, oh, for the love. And then this mountaineering story I was telling you, here it is, that I was telling you about. Good for them. They climb in a mountain. I don't care about climbing mountains. A team of 9 black American climbers attempt to scale Mount Everest to tackle the peak's intentional lack of access for black people and mountaineering's colonial history. It's the Full Circle Everest Expedition. It's the first all black and brown expedition. Blah, 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 blah. Nobody cares. Has anyone literally been at the foot of a mountain telling black people they can't climb it? I'm just curious. They GoFunded me 6 figures. Only 8 climbers of the 10,000 made it to the summit. And they said that they were going to add 9 more to the figure. They're having people all over the world train. Okay, good. Go climb a mountain. But why do we have to make this a racial issue as well? Literally nobody is at the base of a mountain telling you you can't climb it. That's just crazy. This one, Rosemary Saul said she chose to join the team because she says, quote, I hear black people don't do that all the time when I talk about my climbing. That perpetuates stereotypes. It's important to change the narrative, end quote. I call shenanigans. Who in the world goes, black people don't climb? Who says that? Nobody. This is made up victimization. Everyone's goal is to be a victim somehow. That's like the new goal of humanity. Everyone wants to be a victim. John Stewart, who's normally smarter than this, decides to, I guess he decided to try to like pick a fight with J.K. Rowling, and then he ended up walking it back. A number of people had this. Deadline Hollywood had it. There was this, he's got a podcast, and he was drawing parallels between the Harry Potter goblins and the anti-Semitic caricatures in the anti-Semitic book, The Protocols of the Elders of Zion. And he said, I can't stress this enough. I'm not accusing her of being anti-Semitic. She need not answer to any of it. I don't want the Harry Potter movie censored in any way. It's a lighthearted conversation. Well, then why even make try to make that analogy? He's mad because the goblins run are the bankers. He says, and this, and Deadline has this piece. He says, here's how you know, this is what he says, quote, here's how you know Jews are still where they are. I just want to show you a caricature. And they're like, oh, look at that. That's from Harry Potter. And you're like, no, that's a caricature from that anti-Semitic piece of literature. And Rowling was like, can we get these guys to run our bank? He was discussing the story. And I listened to the clip and I'm like, yeah, you are. I get it that you want to revise what you said in the past, but that's the analogy that you made. That's so stupid. Why? And a Jewish charity actually spoke up and they said, sometimes a goblin's just a goblin. And they asked, because other people were asking, are we going to cancel Tolkien and fantasy books as well? I mean, she's been very critical of any anti-Semitism. And I don't know, like I never had that thought literally until he tried to make that argument. I never had that thought about her series. I mean, it's fantasy. Good is good. Evil is evil. That's it. Everything, not everything has like a hidden racial message or a hidden bigoted message. I think some people who are obsessed with bigotry and either are projecting their bigotry outwards or are just wanting to be victimized in all things. I think these are the people that see this in everything. I mean, this whole fantasy genre has existed long before her, has existed, will exist long after her. Golly, I mean, are we seriously going to try to, the whole term itself comes from like what, ancient Greek? The word goblin, isn't it from like ancient Greek? I can't even believe I'm like looking at the etymology of the word goblin. But here we are, 2022. Jeez, no wonder aliens don't visit. No wonder they don't. People just want to be offended constantly. They want to be that there's power in being wronged because they have a cudgel to use. You have to make it right. Well, what if you weren't wronged and there's nothing to be made right? Now, looking ahead at what is to come for this year, this is one of the things we're going to be discussing. There's a couple of things that are ongoing that you might want to pay attention to. And one of those is what you got actions from Russia. You have actions from China. I was telling you a little bit earlier, there's now a Tesla showroom that's opening in Xinjiang province of China. Tesla's becoming a little too cozy for my taste with CCP. I understand that there's a big market over there and people want to make money. But at the same time, I also think that, you know, there's a lot to be concerned about with China. For instance, there is we've been talking about their Belt and Road Initiative, right? They're doing the same thing with tech. They're doing a quasi Belt and Road Initiative with Latin America. So just now, not today, but in the last couple of weeks, Beijing has signed new deals. They're sharing nuclear technology. They're building 5G networks and they're developing programs, space programs, and they're going to pump cheap loans into America's backyard in a growing threat to the U.S. It's a new deal. This comes off the years of their Belt and Road Initiative, which has diminished U.S. power. Now, it's civilian nuclear technology helping to develop what they say are peaceful space programs. They want to build schools and fund classes. This is all their Belt and Road stuff. They spent so far $45 billion in Venezuela, $25 billion in Brazil. I mean, they're really spending a lot of money in South America. They're spending a lot of money in parts of the Caribbean, in Bahamas, Dominican Republic, etc. Now, they've been pumping cheap money into Latin America and the Caribbean for years. And so when they're unable to loan anything or buy, they use all their cheap workforce to build these infrastructure projects, and it gives it a really outsized influence. Now, Evan Ellis, who's a professor at the U.S. Army War College, said, quote, "The Chinese don't say we want to take over Latin America, but they've clearly set out a multidimensional engagement strategy, which is, if successful, would significantly expand their leverage and produce enormous intelligence concerns for the U.S. So this is one of the things to watch this year. So something to keep in mind and keep an eye on. Now, additionally, Russia, they've intervened in yet another one-time Soviet republic, Kazakhstan. Russian troops there landed overnight. They put down a popular uprising against a government that was friendly to Moscow. And so, I don't know. The question is, are these troops ever going to leave? And they've had dozens of demonstrators killed already. A Kazakh official said that security forces were quelling protests that began with outrage over a fuel price hike. Then it grew into challenging the political system, which has largely been unchanged, they said, since the end of the Soviet Union 3 decades ago. So now you have Russian troops in a former Soviet republic, and protesters have been killed already. So now they're in Crimea. They're in Georgia, a couple of other provinces. And they've made it very clear that they would intervene in Belarus to keep his toady in power. So very interesting. That's another thing to keep an eye on.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I don't even know what some of these people... Merry Christmas. Florida man claims that bags of cocaine and meth found wrapped around his wanker aren't his. Really. A Clearwater man says that drugs deputies found wrapped around his male copulatory organ did not belong to him. 34-year-old Patrick Florence was riding in a vehicle that was pulled over after police say he was driving without lights early Saturday morning. The driver of the vehicle was arrested for DUI possession. A search of the car found an illegally possessed firearm because of his past record. They searched him. They found bags of meth and cocaine literally wrapped around his Jimmy. Don't know how else to say it.
The erection.
Yes, thank you. WFLA said that Florence did not say who the drugs found on his person might belong to. And, oh, man, that's just, he's totally going to court. So he's been arrested and charged, but so far has not yet had a trial. Who rides a bike with a sword? A Florida man stabbed himself with one after he fell off his bike. Pasco County, Florida. A Florida man was flown to a local trauma center after a bike accident. He accidentally stabbed himself with a sword. Like, where does the sword come from? How does this come in? Police called it penetrating trauma, Zephyrillis. An adult male was riding his bike when he fell off and accidentally stabbed himself with a sword from his backpack. Just with a sword in your backpack. And they said that he was flown to the trauma center. There wasn't really any updates about why he was carrying a sword or his condition. But maybe don't ride a bike with a sword. Somebody decided to set on a Christmas tree on fire at Key West Southernmost Point, and the buoy was damaged. Some men burned a Christmas tree in front of it. It's a very iconic point, very crowded usually, and it's in Key West, Florida. And their concrete buoy sustained extensive damage because some people set the Christmas tree by it on fire. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
People were hurt. People died. People will have lifelong trauma. The people who work there, including the lawmakers, but the staff as well. The staff who are at the Capitol have committed oftentimes their entire careers to serving our country.
That's D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser. Welcome back to the show. It's our first show back together. Here in this new year, it's good to be back with you, although I was a little delayed in returning because of the Omicron, which is a glorified cold. I still have a little bit of a congestion left, but appreciate your nice thoughts and your prayers and all that. We're doing fine. We really are. Thank you to those, particularly Sergio, who was holding the fort down. We always appreciate you, my friend. So the ongoing J6 theater, the White House briefing is ongoing. And the ongoing J6 theater, I mean, they really made this out to be this like big production, because this is all an insurance policy against limiting losses in the House. And people are comparing it to what I've seen comparisons to Pearl Harbor, 9/11, Benghazi. I mean, and then when Jen Psaki a little bit ago was asked, well, you know, Kamala Harris was comparing it to, she's compared it before to Pearl Harbor 9/11. So why would she say that? And the White House is like, well, maybe you should stop focusing on it. Now, here's another thing, too. She's was asked about, and I'm going to drop this in Slack, Steve. She was asked about, Psaki was asked about rapid test contracts, because this has been another big thing. Getting away, I'm not going to spend all my time on the J6 thing because it's stupid and it's gaslighting to try to control political dissent, and I'm not going to feed it. But here we're supposed to have like all of these new cases of the very, very mild with like no hospitalizations. And I think there's only 10 fatalities worldwide due to Omicron, which is what I got. But where's the testing? Because they made a big deal about testing. And then the CDC revised, just like within the past couple of days, revised their official protocol, saying that you don't have to test out of isolation, which, by the way, goes from 10 days to 5 now. And you don't have to test out of it as long as, you know, you have a reasonable reduction of symptoms, which is never exactly quantified beyond no fever for 24 hours, even though fever is not normally associated with Omicron, according to my doctors. So what about the testing? What? I hope I didn't like I you guys would fall over if you knew how much money I spend. Well, you probably know, too, because you probably had an order test. You can't even schedule to go in and do like a drive through test or anything around here at a Walgreens, a CVS, anything. None of it. This is Jen Psaki. She was asked about rapid testing because Biden said, remember, he said he was going to fix it, that Trump made a testing fiasco. And yeah, didn't. This is what Psaki said just a little bit ago.
Chris, I just wanted to check. I know you guys have said towards the end of this week on finalizing the contracts for the rapid test,
yeah.
if those have been signed yet.
I expect we'll have more in the next 24 hours. And as soon as we do, and as soon as there are more details to report, we will let you all know. That's what we're working on right now.
Do you remain confident that, you know, if you don't even have the contract signed yet, that you'll be able to actually set up a website, ship them out, have them available by the end of the month, which is your sort of stated goal?
Absolutely. I mean, remember, a lot of these things are happening simultaneously, right? We issued the request for proposal. That closed just a couple of days ago. We've been working to finalize the contracts. And as we said, and we're on track for this, we'll be issuing some of the first rewards for that very soon. And we'll have an update on that, I think, very shortly.
Jeez. They don't have any information for you. None of these people know what the hell's going on. None of them know what's happening. None of these people know what's going on. Because with the testing, with the isolation period, with everything else, nobody knows what's happening. Answers keep changing constantly. Now they don't even want to let you know when there have been changes made, because I guess they're so worried about their ever eroding public trust that they figure that letting you know that they were wrong about something, that something's changed is gonna worsen that, even though them not telling you is what actually does it. People give benefit of the doubt when they feel that the mistake was you know, done unintentionally. But if they're gonna be led on, this is so ridiculous. This whole thing is so insane. I wish we had more information. Treat it like it's endemic. Go on with your lives. I am so done with this damn freak out. By the way, any discussion of putting kids in N95 masks needs to be stomped the hell out. That was just something else that people have been pushing. Here's another headline for you. This comes from CBS. Health experts are warning to stop wearing cloth masks. I am not making this up. This is new today. Health experts are warning to stop wearing cloth masks. Studies coming out, this is literally from CBS, quote, studies are coming out saying that the cloth masks that most have been wearing since the pandemic began may look good with their array of stylish colors, but they're not effective. Oh my. Now they're saying, they're quoting doctors from Mayo Clinic, cloth masks do not offer protection. Yeah. Remember when people were banned on Twitter and social media period for saying that cloth masks didn't work? And I told you this. I caught all hell for saying that cloth masks didn't work. And now here we are, where you have medical experts saying, yeah, by the way, they don't work. No joke. LA Public Health is requiring employers to provide employees working indoors with well-fitting medical-grade masks, surgical masks, or higher-level respirators like N95 or KN95 masks by January 17th, because vaccinations alone aren't sufficient to prevent spread. So the vaccinations by themselves will not prevent spread. Does anybody know what mitigation approaches have actually worked to stop said spread? Maybe you should learn to live with it because it's endemic. Maybe. And then, of course, I'm sure you've heard of the flu-rona, which is something made up because there always has to be some kind of thing to get freaked out about. They said that some patient tested positive for both flu and COVID, two viruses simultaneously. It's not a mega strain. It's literally just someone that has two different viruses, and they're trying to make it out like it's a mega strain. Jiminy Christmas. I hate everything. And today's National Day of Stupidity. I have to share this with you. Leaked emails reveal that New York City was prioritizing COVID tests for minorities. They said that New York City health officials were prioritizing these tests for more racially diverse areas. And in an email conversation, Department of Health and Mental Hygiene officials said that they were prioritizing 31 neighborhoods and that those neighborhoods were underserved. And they said that those communities, quote, bore the brunt of this pandemic due to structural racism, end quote. What? So politicizing how taxpayers receive their taxpayer-funded tests and vaccines. Jeez. And you wonder why people don't have any faith at all whatsoever in government institutions. This is, by the way, one of the problems with this whole structural, you know, inequity, CRT, everything is racist ideology, because it forces discrimination. In order to achieve equity over equality, some people have to be treated in a discriminative manner, which completely turns everything that we've said about equality for the past, I don't know how many decades, on its head to promote literal discrimination. And when you start doing that in healthcare, that's a terrifying thing. That's the last thing that, actually, that's something that should never be politicized, ever. And when you start doing that, and there's no structural racism that's prevented, that's made the virus hit someone else harder than another individual. I mean, haven't more men also, too, been affected more so? So you could say that it's sexist. It's a sexist virus then. Or if I wanted to put my tinfoil hat on, it was a virus designed to take out all fighting age men. But I'm just saying, if I wanted to put my tinfoil hat on, which I'm not, but just, you know, I'm just, it's there if I wanted to. The ongoing theater with the J6 stuff continues as well. And I was thinking about this as I was looking at this new poll. It was a Des Moines Register, which, by the way, is considered the gold standard of polling by Democrats and Republicans. I have to tell you, I was even surprised by this. Get this, let me pull this out. Pretty evenly sampled, too. The favorability rating for Trump in the Des Moines Register for their Iowa favorability is the highest, his highest in any Iowa poll, and it's the highest of any politician in forever. This is kind of crazy. Listen to this. I was actually surprised by these numbers. 53% of Iowans have a favorable review of Trump. That's his best showing on any metric in the Iowa poll. That's unbelievable. 2% aren't sure how they feel, which, who are these people? And that is very interesting. The move to try to ban him from social media has only actually improved his favorability, which now Democrats may want to have him back on social media. Look, if they were worried about his mean tweets hurting and they made such a big deal, like, oh, this is hurting him, look how much, then why would they have him kicked off of social media? Doesn't make any sense. But, well, I mean, they don't want him to communicate because they want to use this J6 stuff as much as possible. So these numbers, this is pretty significant. I mean, they had a pretty even sampling, and it said most people said that because they're disappointed with, a lot of them are disappointed with Democrats, they're disappointed with Biden. Democrats don't like Biden. They're trying to look at some kind of pull cord, ripcord to get out of this, and this is not going to happen. They're stuck with him. Craziness. But that's pretty significant. Now, on the Hill today, Dick Cheney. He's in the Capitol. He was apparently talking to members of the press. He said, quote, "I am deeply disappointed at the failure of many members of my party to recognize the grave nature of the January 6th attacks and the ongoing threat to our nation." The only person, by the way, who was killed on January 6th was a Trump supporter, which is, one person shot on January 6th. That's about the same number of people shot going hunting with Cheney. So, and he's up there, of course, with Liz Cheney. Why are these people dusting themselves off and coming out of retirement? They had nothing to say at all whatsoever when you had all of this other stuff being perpetuated by Democrats. But the only time they ever come out to criticize is when it's a Republican now, because there's a big fight in the Republican Party. The old guard has lost power. The Tea Party, remember, the Tea Party was first ever critical of George W. Bush. I know, because I was there. I was in the streets protesting before Barack Obama. In fact, you can Google it. There's an old Associated Press article with me in it. Google it. I dare you. So this was all, it was all ever against big government. And so the people who were really, you could say, deposed of through grassroots electoral activities, those people are still mad. They still hold grudges. And they look at all of these people as a residual effect of that. So they got axes to grind, so to speak. We'll talk more about this here coming up.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So Manhattan's DA, Alvin Bragg, so much, I guess, people are saying so much for NYC's tough-on-crime new mayor. So the new mayor, ex-cop Eric Adams, has backed Manhattan's progressive new DA, Alvin Bragg. He's not going to seek prison for most crimes and is going to downgrade felony charges in armed robberies and drug dealing. So he's going to unleash a torrent of violent crime on people in Manhattan. And now you can see why everybody's leaving that damn cesspool. Does it make sense? Good grief. Also, this is interesting. Mounting evidence building that people are naturally resistant, some, to COVID and all of its mutations. Now, one theory is that they previously recovered from different kinds of coronaviruses and that they can help, according to experts, create variant-proof vaccines to keep these viruses at bay. But they said scientists around the world are studying this phenomenon of healthcare workers and other people who are regularly exposed to it but have never themselves become infected. Like, even after being in close contact where everybody else would normally get, would normally be infected, they're not. Speaking of coronavirus and healthcare workers, hospitalizations for COVID are down 50% compared to the 2021 peak. And remember, the Omicron is considered incredibly mild with symptoms like a cold. And as a person who had it, I can say, yes, that's correct. It is very mild. This is crazy, too. A South Korean, this is very rare, attempted a defection into North Korea. Now, North Korea is that the DMZ, that whole area has been very, very guarded, obviously. And in fact, North Korea, they'll shoot you on sight. But a gymnast actually fled back to North Korea. Crazy. Stick with us. We got more in store this first broadcast of the new year.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
State the obvious. 1 year ago today, in this sacred place, democracy was attacked. Simply attacked. The will of the people was under assault. The Constitution, our Constitution, faced the gravest of threats. Outnumbered in the face of a brutal attack, the Capitol Police, the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department, the National Guard, and other brave law enforcement officials saved the rule of law.
Joe Biden, this morning, talking about they're trying to act like J6 is this big thing. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com. Good to be with you. I missed y'all. First show of the new year. Delayed a bit because of the Rona, but recovering fine. Just a glorified cold. It's like a cold, really. I mean, it's like a bit. The aches and chills sucked. Didn't have a fever. Still have some of the congestion that you can hear, but recovering. So I missed you all, like I said. When I was listening to all of this stuff and looking at the theater that they were carrying out in the Statuary Hall. Do you remember 2017, the riots that rocked D.C. during Trump's inauguration? I mean, have you seen you remember the aerial shots? The whole city looked like it was on fire. There were so many damn fires and there was so much destruction. I mean, so many people in the streets setting fire to everything. The city burned. I mean, it was crazy. That was an attack on D.C. That was an attack on D.C. by the left. And I'm amazed that that's all ignored. On January 6th last year, you had hundreds of thousands of people that came up for a peaceful rally. A group broke away from that And then of that group that was, they were, you, I guess you could say, trespassing on the Capitol, although I'm only saying that just to get the discussion going, because I don't believe that anybody, I don't believe you can trespass on public property that your tax dollars pay for, but I digress. But of that group, some broke away, a smaller portion even broke away, and those who engaged in violent and destructive actions that are not considered protected speech, they were charged and prosecuted, and I'm totally fine with that. That's where we differ from the left, because we believe in and being equal under the law in this republic when you violate it. But the destruction and the craziness that we saw during the Trump inauguration, that's, J6 is nothing compared to that. That was citywide. I had friends who were covering it. And they were terrified to even cover it because it was so violent. And so, and there was so much property destruction. I mean, this is something that's, you know, there's so much documentation of this. They need January 6th to be a thing because they need it as an insurance policy for losing their House majority. They're trying to mitigate that expected loss as much as possible. And this is the only way they have to do it. Their policies aren't doing it. That's why you have so many people who are identifying as not as Democrats anymore. Their policies aren't doing it. The Youngkin victory, that whole election was terrifying to the left. This is all they've ever had. This is all they ever do. So they're going to try to ratchet up the fear of this while actually excusing the craziness that they've encouraged and engaged in for all of the years leading up to it and even after. And so this whole thing, this with J6, it's a small group of people who are being used as the scapegoat to justify repression techniques on the whole. That's what it is. I mean, you have people who are still being held a year on, and yet there's like not even everybody's seen their day in court yet, which is crazy to me, by the way. Not everyone has. There's that's a whole other discussion. And this J6 commission, this was only ever established to help Democrats hold on to power. Politically exploiting a riot and trying to call it a terror attack is ridiculous. And that's not just Democrats. Ted Cruz apparently is involved in doing this. It's not a terror attack. It was a riot. We're not calling riots terror attacks. Terrorist attack, there's a motivation. There's an organization. And they're actually armed. I mean, this, especially when you see just the shenanigans and the politicization of all of this. Good heavens. This is all about power. This is exactly what it's about. It's about power. It's why you have everything else that was described as mostly peaceful protest, but this is a terror attack. I was disappointed to see Ted Cruz say that, and I don't know why. And I know he said it, he's described it like that before, but I'm not quite sure why he would play into that, why he would do that. There's going to be, and I want you to watch some of these Republicans, especially as we get closer to our general election, there's going to be this effort to try to seem like they are the they're the acceptable Republicans. You're going to see that increase as we get closer to elections. You're going to see that increase. So this, I'm looking at a number of things with all of this. Here's one. Republicans downplaying J6. Republicans downplaying January 6th. Republican, well, then don't overplay it. Right? You can't sit here and tell me that there wasn't FBI involvement in this, especially now with a lot of this independent reporting and a lot of these individuals that we know to have had, I mean, they were involved with FBI and they were, we don't even know the level of it. The whole story with Ray Epps, the whole et cetera, et cetera. I think it was a combination. I think it was a combination of people who were just following. They weren't making a determination on how to act themselves, and they were being encouraged by some people there. Whether or not that was organic or inorganic, we'd never know, because that's not anything that the J6 Commission wants to look into. But you know what makes people? It's not wearing a tinfoil hat, and it's not being irrationally superstitious, particularly when you consider exactly what happened after 2016 and how you had literally wiretaps and surveillance carried out based on political grievances against a private citizen. Not when you consider the FBI-led and organized Gretchen Whitmer kidnap plot. That's not me exaggerating it. It was literally concocted by an undercover FBI agent. I mean, there are receipts. We do acknowledge this still, right? Or how the rally that was in support of those who were detained and still yet had not had their day in court, the J6 thing, how you actually had a federal agent that was arrested there while pretending to be just a regular average run-of-the-mill protester. So, yeah, it's not fair to say that people are being irrational when they're simply saying, this is what's happened before. Why would it be beyond the realm of possibility to consider this in this instance? I mean, Antifa, when they were rioting outside the White House in 2020, they had a damn guillotine out there. I mean, you had the left that set fire to a church in D.C. They set fire to a church. You had D.C. burning in 2017 during Trump's inauguration. It burned again in 2020 as a threat, as to scare people ahead of the election. They set fire to a church. And yet Trump still got condemnation for that. I never recall anybody calling that a terrorist attack. And I don't remember Ted Cruz calling it a terrorist attack either. I'll say this. This is where you know how I feel about politicians. I've known Ted Cruz for years. I have known him for over a decade. I first met him even way back during the Tea Party days. Ted Cruz is where he is because of the Tea Party. He's where he is because of grassroots stuff. And while I am not one of those people that wants to throw the baby out with the bathwater, I also am one of those people who says, what have you done for me lately? And when you're out there saying that a riot is a terror attack, you're wrong. When you're out there giving credence to the silliness, you're wrong. And I think everybody has a shelf life. I know Cruz is very much into the sound bites and all of that stuff lately. And I'm not looking to have him make an enemy out of me. But I know if you keep talking like that, that definitely makes political enemies, not allies. Remember, just because they came to power during the Tea Party and just because the Tea Party launched them into office doesn't mean that they don't have a shelf life. I don't believe in term limits because I think that that's a big government non-conservative position, because the term limit is you with your vote. You are responsible for that, and you should never cede the power of your vote over to the government ever. That's your responsibility. It is not a conservative position to be for term limits. And so I also think that you need to keep that in mind with any and all politicians, including people like Ted Cruz. But yeah, they rioted. The left rioted outside of the White House in 2020. Antifa had a guillotine. They set fire to a church. That was not considered a terror attack, I guess. All the Democrats today that were screaming pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, defund the cops, all this other stuff. Now, all of a sudden, they want to back the blue. This is that weird day when they have to straddle both of those talking points. No, the left, you should, honestly, J6 is nothing. It was a riot that took place. That was it. It was a riot that took place. People were charged and prosecuted. The end. The vast majority of people did not even engage in it. And I'm not going to be gaslit otherwise. And the left sure as hell didn't care about this kind of behavior when it was Democrats doing it against cops. They sure as hell didn't care about this behavior when it was Democrats doing it to black-owned businesses and burning down black communities. And they didn't really care about it when you had pedophiles running around in the street attacking teenagers and wife beaters and grandma beaters attacking teenagers while they were screaming racial slurs and burning down black-owned communities. Now, they didn't care about it then. They didn't care about it then. This is situational, they're inconsistent, and I'm done. And don't you be gaslit into it either. And I do think that Ted Cruz should apologize for his remark. Because like I said, everybody's got a shelf life. And when they start to stink, that's when, you know, it's their shelf life. Their date in office is up. Just saying. I don't like to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but as I said, my mantra with politicians is, what have you done for me lately? I'm not friends with politicians. And none of them should ever, ever think that my civility is that. Now, we have more to come. We got today's stupidity on the way. You want to sign up for the newsletter because I got stuff that goes out every day in the newsletter. You want to make sure that you sign up for it because you're going to miss vital things. So as we get moving on, I got a great piece I'm going to share with you too before we end the day.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
There's this great piece that I was reading by a writer named Samuel Say, and the article's titled, Why I Hate Forced Diversity. And I know it's important to the left. He's a black writer. And he was talking about different TV shows. And how almost every TV show today looks like an infomercial for the United Nations. Hollywood is more interested in producing racial quotas than producing good stories. He says every show today has at least one major character who's black, Latino, brown, Asian, and for a two-for-one LGBTQ. He said, but what we're losing sight of is what real diversity looks like. He says our dogmatic attempts to create more diversity actually creates less diversity. We're all so different from each other, and that's the real diversity. It's not about an equal mixture, he says, of, you know, good ethnic characters, etc. He talked about Family Matters and Fresh Prince and Famous Jet Jackson and even Road to Avonlea, spinoff of Anna Green Gables and all kinds of stuff. And he's like, I watched all that. And he said, these shows didn't attempt to appeal to my skin color. They appealed to my humanity. And he discusses that they shared the same universal human experiences. Like, he found more in common with Kevin Arnold, he said, from The Wonder Years than a lot of these other shows now out there today. He said, we're both kids going through the same thing. Appealing to humanity. You know, that transcends all ethnicity and everything else, right? But that's what they would most like for you to forget. It's a great piece, and I'm going to link it in the prep email, so you want to make sure that you do not miss it. Oh my gosh, by the way, the cast of Hamilton sang a song to commemorate 1/6. Oh my gosh, it just gets dumber. It gets dumber. I'll be on Fox tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern hour. Make sure you tune in. In the meantime, Today in Stupidity.
All right, we'll go back a little more than today. Ron Klain last year was commenting how he'll fix Trump's testing problem, but here we go.
The Biden plan starts with fixing Trump's testing fiasco. He'd make sure that all Americans have access to regular, reliable, and free testing.
I'll just cut it off there.
There you go. Thank you, Steve. Yeah, that's... wow. But he didn't fix it because it's still a problem. Still a problem. Folks, that does it for us today. Catch me on Fox tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern. Back behind the mic with you to finish out the week tomorrow. God bless. Good to be back.